Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And good morning, dear friends, and welcome to all of you as we continue our study today, Volume 17, a wonderful volume in the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And let us always, as always, begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, how do we ever give you thanks enough for the way you have multiplied your goodness, your life, your love, your will here on earth through your creatures? This is the gift we celebrate, dear Lord, in this spirituality, this divine science way of life known as the kingdom, the reign of the will of God on earth as in heaven. Lord, it's such a great mystery, and yet you have made known to us, your little ones, these mysteries of your kingdom. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, a heart to love, you have revealed to us the mysteries of this reign of your divine will. We thank you, we bless you, we love you, we adore you together with and on behalf of all of your creation. Well, Lord, help us in these passages, especially that are dedicated these days, to a more practical way of living. So come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. And as always, we ask our Blessed Mother, Queen of the Divine Will, help us to know what it means to live every moment in that reign of God's will. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. And all you angels and saints, in a special way today, St. James the Apostle, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome again. Happy to have you with us as we continue to share this gift of the divine will. For now, we're going to continue with the next passage from May 17th, 1925, Volume 17. Very important passage, by the way, and a very beautiful one that I hope is going to help us all to live, put into practice, and apply what we've come to know through the writings of Luisa. So Luisa begins this passage, after I had the confessor hear what is written above with the date of May 10th, that was the last one we read last time, on fusing myself in the divine volition, he was not satisfied and ordered me to continue to write about this way to fuse myself in the holy divine volition. So out of obedience and for fear that my Jesus might be even slightly disappointed, I continue. So the confessor, of course, who has the authority over Luisa's life by appointment of the bishop there, the archbishop of that diocese, the confessor wasn't happy with what she said or what she wrote last time. Well, it was a very long and beautiful passage from May 10th of the same year. So now she's going to try to expound upon it, just give a little more details of how this fusion of the human will and the divine will takes place. She says, now I add that as that immense void, and remember in that May 10th passage, she began by saying, seeing an immense void, which Jesus shows her is the void that needs to be filled by her acts in the divine will. So she sees this void again, comes before my mind, infusing myself in the supreme volition. The little child begins her round again, and rising up on high, she wants to repay her God for all the love he had for all creatures in creation. Again, this is the purpose of everything. The I love you too, the requital of love, this return to God, love, thanksgiving, adoration, and glory. And so she's doing this now. She wants to give God this return, repay him for all the love he had in creating everything, not just man, or mankind or humanity, but all of creation. And this is an outpouring of God's love. She wants to honor him as creator of all things, and so she goes around the stars, and in each flickering of light, I impress my I love you and glory to my creator. You see, the return of love is the praise of his glory. This is what glorifies God. It's the glory for which he created us and that must come full circle. That's the round that is to be completed by us. In every atom of the light of the sun that comes down, my I love you and glory to my creator. In the whole expanse of the heavens, between the distance from one step to another, my I love you and my glory. That is glory to my creator. In the warbling of the bird and the beating of its wings, love and glory to my creator. In the blade of grass which sprouts from the earth, in the flower that blooms, in the fragrance that ascends, love and glory. On the peak of the mountains, in the depths of the valleys, love and glory. See, if you would like to know what a round of creation is, this is a perfect example. This is what it means to go around, as Louisa does, and all of these beautiful created things that God's made, and through them, and on their behalf, in a sense, with her intellect and her will and memory, to give God back the glory, the love with which he created them, and which are still in them, in a sense, coming to us. So this is a very simple, childlike thing, as we said last time, that we can all do, that children can also do. You know, it's very interesting that if we consider the gospel for this Sunday, the 26th of July, the 17th Sunday in ordinary time from chapter 6, Jesus goes across the water, across the Sea of Galilee, goes back to the shore there where Capernaum and the Mount of the Beatitudes and the place where he appears to the disciples after the resurrection. He goes back there and he performs this one of his greatest miracles, the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. It is a perfect image difference of the will of God acting in creation. Why? Because through the people there, through the disciples, through the young man who has, you know, the couple of loaves and fishes, Jesus blesses them, gives thanks for them, returns glory and love to the Father, distributes them, and what happens? They are multiplied. This is what happens with God's will. God's will is the power by its blessing to multiply. If we go back to the book of Genesis, you know, the beginning of everything, when God creates the earth and the sea and all that is within them, and he creates the universe, he blesses them and says what? Be fruitful and multiply. He says it not only to Adam and Eve. The first time he says it is to the creatures in the midst of the sea, to the fish. He says, be fruitful, multiply, be creative. See, this is what God's will does by its nature, is it wants to give life, wants to generate life. It's what it does within God himself. His divine will generates the life of the Holy Trinity from all eternity. It's what God's will wants to do in, through creation, through us in a very special way, because we, as the inhabitants and the masters, the stewards of creation here on earth, are given to do. So God's will is what multiplies by his blessing. You see, be fruitful and multiply. This is what Jesus is doing through the will of God by nature, united to his human nature. He's blessing, giving thanks, multiplying the goodness, the love of God for his children, for his creatures. What we do by the power of God's will, and in a very special way this understanding comes into the rounds as a kind of prayer, we, by the power of God's will, also multiply. In return, the love and the glory coming back to God that he has placed in all this multiplication of his love through the goodness, the beauty, the multiplicity of his creation. So what we're doing is by the power of his will, we're able to multiply it back to him and say, Lord, now for every single little thing you've done, and as Louisa says, in every atom of every single thing you've created, I want to return love and glory back to you. This is the fulfillment of the purpose of creation. It's the order, the place in which we were created. It's the way God wants us to live again. So this is why it's so important that we learn it and that we do it, you know, that we carry it out each and every day as best we can. It says, in the whole expanse of the heavens, between the distance from one step to another, see, there's a wonderful thing when we walk is to think that we're covering more ground. We're including every expanse, not just the step where our foot falls, but all of the distance in between is also being covered in the will of God. So she goes on, then I wander through every heart of the creature as though wanting to enclose myself and shout from within to every heart, my I love you and my glory to my creator. So the multiplying happens by uniting what we're doing in our human nature with all of our brothers and sisters as well. We're doing it as Adam and Eve did on the behalf of all creation. So this is our part. We're doing it to them in a sense of making it more known to them so they too can join in this love and glory of the Creator. But we're also doing it for them and on their behalf. So she's saying, I go into every heart, every intellect, every memory, every will of every human creature, you see. And from within that heart, I want to give back to God all this love and glory. It's very simple, but that's the way it's multiplied. Because for every one of us, there is a multiplication that God intended to come back to him of that love and glory. And so because it's not done, as we know too well, it never has been done perfectly since the fall of Adam and Eve. He has chosen us and called us to have this mission and to fulfill this purpose of entering the heart of every creature, of entering into all of his creation. And as we do that, to bring this love of God that he's revealed through creation to them, to remind them of it, and then on their behalf to return it to God. She says, and then as if I had gathered everything together in such a way that everything gives return of love and recognition of glory for all that God has done in creation, then I go to his throne. See, she takes all of this as one package, one, you know, one bundle united in the will of God. And I say to him, she goes to the throne. Remember, the throne is the symbol of God's reign, his power and dominion, his kingdom. I say to him, Supreme Majesty, Creator of all things, this little child comes into your arms to tell you that all of creation, in the name of all creatures, gives you not only return of love, but also the just, that is the rightful, merited glory for the so many things you created for love of us. See, so I go back, I take it all together in one armful, and I bring it to the throne of God, and I say, Eternal Father, here I bring you everything that your creatures want to give you, should be giving you. And I give it to you in their name, on their behalf. In your will, she says in this beautiful prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. We can, you know, take these prayers and repeat them and write them down and pray them every day. In your will, in this immense empty space, I wandered everywhere so that all things may glorify you, love you, and bless you. See, this full meaning of the word barakah, beautiful Hebrew word, Aramaic word also, that means to literally the word comes, it's a beautiful word, barakah. It literally comes from the word to kneel, not in worship, but in self-offering. You see, so when God kneels, when God bows down to us, it's because he wants to give himself to us in that most profound act of humility, which is the incarnation of his Son. So this is the barakah. This is the blessing that God begins with at creation, even before man is created. It's all of the universe is blessed in this sense, that God pours out himself and his love upon it. And of course, that comes to fulfillment in the masterpiece of his creation, which is man and woman, Adam and Eve. So she says, I want to bless you back. I love you too. I bless you too. I multiply with the power, the multiplying power of your divine will, I multiply it back. You see, and like Andrew, we can say, well, what good is so little among so many? I'm just one little finite creature here doing my little finite acts. Well, that's true. But like Andrew, we all have to learn that Jesus, as Son of God, has the divine will by nature to do this multiplication. And he gives us this power when we're created, first of all, in one sense, because the divine will's in us too. But in the most particular way and the most powerful way it comes to us, of course, at baptism and is renewed and nourished in the Holy Eucharist. And we'll talk about that in a minute as well. But again, Luis is using this beautiful word to bless God back. You know, the Jewish barakah is very strong in our Eucharist as well. We're blessing God. Blessed are you. You know, that at the offertory, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread, the wine we offer you. Through your love for us, you've multiplied this goodness so that we can now return it as a blessing coming back to you. So she says, I wandered everywhere so that everything would glorify you and bless you. And now that I've put in relation, that is back into relationship, this love between the creator and the creature, which the human will had broken, as well as the glory that everyone owed you, now let your will descend upon earth that it may bind and strengthen all the relationships between creator and creature so that all things may return to the original order established by you. Now, isn't it amazing how in almost every sentence, in every statement, in a very special way of this volume and this passage, the whole knowledge, the whole divine science is contained. It's like the whole is in every part. The part is in every whole, but the whole is in every part as well. It's a fundamental doctrine of our Christian spirituality, that in each one of us as members of the body of Christ, there is also, in one sense, the whole body and of Christ, the mystical body. So in every part of creation, in a sense, there is the whole. So she's saying, now let your divine will descend again. So another important facet that sometimes we forget, that it's not just about us returning things to God, but it is about a cycle that goes on and on for all eternity. It's not finished in that sense. Okay, well now I've, as Jesus did this completely and fully, I'm uniting with him, so it's already done. No, this goes on. In a sense, so that as she's praying, that once it returns to God, it can come back again to earth as blessing, you see, to bless all creatures today, and not just the earth, but even upon heaven and the souls in purgatory, upon all the communion of saints and all the mystical body, and upon all the world. This is what, you know, this is the incredible miracle that happens through the multiplication of our acts in the divine will. Not only does it go back to God, we, by sending it back to God, God's able to send it back to us. You see, why? Because there's a human will, there's human love on earth that he can use in order to bring this about. And he does need our humanity. He needs our human will. It's the way it was created, dear friends. We can't justify it. We have no merit in it. Simply the way he created it to be. That this divine cycle, this circle of love, coming from God to us, and us to God, and God back to us, and going on and on, that's what makes it an eternal circle of love. You see, so that all things may return to the original order established by you. That's the original order, is this eternal divine cycle of God's love flowing to his creatures, returning to him, coming back on and on forever. Therefore, hurry, do not delay any longer. Don't you see how the earth is full of evils? This is Louisa praying. She knows, and hopefully we're learning and we're coming to know, that this is the only solution to evil in the world. Because all evil begins in the human will. If there's going to be a solution, it's got to be coming from the human will, not itself, but by its being united once again, its fusion, its communion with that will of God that has the power to overcome all evil through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It says, your will alone can stop this current and save it. Your will, known and ruling. You see, it's so important that the divine will be known and be given its rightful reign to overcome this opposite reign, you know, this contradictory reign of Satan on earth. As we know, Satan has been unleashed and all his power is there. It has no power over God, but we can give it power through our free assent, through our consent. We give the devil power over us. The power of God is the only solution to overcome it through our agreement, through our desire, through our uniting ourselves with that will of God. Then the power of evil can be broken. So she says, don't you see how the earth is full of evils? Your will alone can stop this current. It's the current that's going against, in opposition, in contradiction to the current, this divine cycle of God's love and that round of love that is meant to go on forever. So that the other current, you know, you can't have two currents flowing against each other. They won't go anywhere. So the current has to be broken. That current of our human will and all of its ties to the evil one, to sin, to the flesh, to the world, all of that has to be broken. You see, dear friends, if until we start seeing that broken chain and that current of evil broken in our own lives, then it's very hard for the divine current, for this divine cycle to take over. So the two go along together. We never say, of course, we don't worry about sin anymore. Well, we don't worry about it, but we certainly do, you know, pray and do everything possible for God to overcome it in our lives. Because if not, the divine cycle is going to be, you know, impeded. It's not going to have its full strength to do what it needs to do through us. And Louisa goes on, after this, I felt that my office, that is her duty here to write, is still not complete. So I descend to the bottom of that empty space, that void, in order to repay Jesus for the work of redemption. Okay, see, we've done creation now. That's why we talk about three kinds of rounds. Now she's going into redemption, which is what simply all of the acts of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and because they were done perfectly together with those of his Blessed Mother. As though finding all that he did in act, I want to give him my return for all the acts that all creatures should have done in waiting for him and receiving him upon earth. See, even before he comes, Louisa wants to make up for what's lacking in the time of the Old Testament, the time of the prophets and waiting for the Messiah. And so she's saying, even here, I want to find, give him my return for all the acts the creatures should have done in praying and waiting for his coming in the Old Covenant. Then, as though wanting to transform all of myself into love for Jesus, I go back to my refrain and I say, I love you, in the act of descending from heaven to be incarnated. That's what we do in the Angelus, isn't it? The Angelus is a beautiful round of redemption where we once again praise and thank and love God in return for that moment in which Jesus becomes flesh in the womb of Mary. And I impress my I love you in the act of being conceived in the most pure womb, the Virgin Mary. I love you in the first drop of blood which was formed in your humanity. I love you in the first beat of your heart to mark all your heartbeats with my I love you. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? To put an I love you on every heartbeat that Jesus would have throughout his life. I love you in your first breath. I love you in your first pains. I love you in the first tears you shed in the maternal womb. I want to return your prayers, your reparations, your offerings with my I love you. I love you in your birth. I love you in the cold you suffered. I love you in each drop of the milk you suckled from your most holy mama. I want to fill my I love you with my I love you, the clothes with which your mama swaddled you. I lay my I love you upon that ground on which your mama placed you in the manger as your most tender limbs felt the hardness of the hay, but more than of hay, the hardness of hearts. See this, we can see why Jesus says, you know, I thank you, Father, you've revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom, because this doesn't appeal to very sophisticated intellectual people to put I love yous on every little thing that Jesus did. Is very childlike. Children are good at multiplying this way. They don't get bored, you know, as we do as adults with multiplying the I love yous, with multiplying our return of love back to God. I love you in each of your wailings and all the tears and sufferings of your childhood. I make my I love you flow in all of the relations and communications and love you had with your Immaculate Mama. See, it's so simple. It's so beautiful. I love you in her dearest kisses, in each word you said, in the food you took, in the steps you took, and in the water you drank. See, she's really giving us here. She says, I need to make this more detailed and more complete to help us understand a little better what this is all about and how to do it. So we don't have any excuse now for saying, I don't understand the rounds. I hope we don't after this, or I don't know how to do the rounds. It's the most simple childlike thing in the world. Thank you, Father. You've revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. Blessed are your eyes, for you see what you see. Blessed are your ears for seeing, your ears for hearing what you hear. See, dear friends, we are so blessed by that multiplying power of God's divine will so that we can bless him. We can bless all of his creation and return that blessing to him. With that, we're going to take a short musical interlude. Stay with us. We're going to return in just a moment.
Oh,
welcome once again as we continue our study of Volume 17 in a very beautiful passage these days that we're reading. And thank you, Julie, for that very beautiful hymn to Our Lady, O Santissima, O Purissima. And thank you for being with us as we continue now with this passage dated May 17th, 1925. Luisa is going through now a round, her own example of making a round of redemption. She says, I love you in the work you did with your hand. I love you in all the acts you did during your hidden life. I seal my I love you in each one of your interior acts and in the pains you suffered. I lay my I love you upon the pads you covered. It's a beautiful thought. Did you ever think of that, of you know, putting an I love you on every step of Jesus and every path he took as he walked the earth? See, in the air you breathed, put an I love you on every, you know, atom of air that Jesus breathed. In all the sermons you made during your public life, my love you flows in the power of the miracles you made, in the sacraments you instituted, in everything, oh my Jesus, even in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I impress my I love you for me and for all. Your will makes everything present to me, and nothing do I want to leave out in which my I love you is not impressed. Your little daughter of your will feels this duty as there is nothing else she can do, so that you may have at least my little I love you for everything you did for me and for all. See, what good is so little among so many? Well, it is infinite good. It is infinite blessing for upon all creatures and upon God himself. So that you may have at least my little I love you. As little as it is so very powerful when it's united to the very big, infinite, eternal power of God's will. Therefore, my I love you follows you in all the pains of your passion, in all the spit, the scorn, the insults they gave you. My I love you seals every drop of the blood you shed, every blow you received, every wound that was formed in your body, each thorn that transfixed your head, the bitter pains of the crucifixion, the words you pronounced on the cross. Up to your last breath, I intend to impress my I love you. I want to enclose all your life, all your acts with my I love you. I want you to touch, to see, and feel my continuous I love you. My I love you will never leave you. Your very will is the life of my I love you. Your very will is the life of my I love you. See, our I love you comes from a human will, and that is something, giving back to God his love that he created in us as a creature. But the very will of God is what gives it, is what gives our I love you its power to multiply, its power to render not only human finite love, but eternal infinite love back to God as he created it to be, as he destined us to do. So she says, your very will is the life of my I love you. You see, again, we say it over and over. Love is an act of the will. You cannot love if you don't have a will. So God, of course, is the first being to love. He has loved us first, as St. John says. Our little I love you only has the fullness of power when it's united to his divine love flowing from his one eternal will, coming back to him. That's what we want. That's why this is so important that we do it. It says, but do you know what this little child wants? That the divine will of your Father, which you loved so much, speaking to Jesus, and which you carried out during all your life on earth, that it make itself known to all creatures so that all may love it and fulfill your will. Your will on earth as it is in heaven. See, this is the whole purpose of Jesus coming, redemption certainly, but also to make it possible once again for the reign of his Father's will to be on earth. See, that was his food. That was his mission. That was everything to Jesus. Who are my mother's brothers and sisters? Those who do the will of my Father. Because that's why I'm here. You're my family. You're the ones most intimately connected, tied, related to me. So this little child will want to surpass you in love so that you may give your will to all creatures. Oh, please make this poor little one happy who wants nothing but what you want, that your will be known and reign upon all the earth. Again, another beautiful prayer. Volume 17 is very filled with these prayers of Louisa for the coming reign of the will of God on earth. She says, now I believe that obedience will be happy in some way. Okay, I've done my duty. I've gone through this round now of redemption. Though it is true that in many things I had to make a few jumps, otherwise I would never end. It's true. I mean, the universe is finite, but it seems like you can go on forever because the multiplication is seemingly endless. Fusing myself in the divine will is like a springing fount for me. It's like a fountain of water, living water, gushing up, you know, springing up within, as Jesus says, to the one, you know, who has faith, who believes in me, there will be within them a fountain of water springing up. That water, of course, is the divine life, is the divine will in us, flowing and circulating in us as the fountain and continuing this divine cycle in us so that the Father can be glorified. And every tiny thing I hear and see, even one offense given to my Jesus, is occasion for me to have new ways and new fusions in his most holy will. See, to continue making that reparation. So here, as we're hearing about the rounds of redemption, you know, this is not really new in the church. If you think of it, look at the rosary. There's a perfect round of redemption, you know, meditating, giving praise and love back to God and glory for all the mysteries of the life of Jesus, his death and resurrection, and together with Mary. So as a perfect round of redemption, look at the stations of the cross, another way in which we put an I love you on all of the acts of Jesus' passion, the hours of the passion, a beautiful round, of course, of meditation in the same way. The sacraments. Our apologies, we're having some technical difficulties this morning, but thanks be to God. I hope you're able to continue to listen to the program. So again, the rounds of redemption are something we're fairly familiar with in the church. As I said, we could talk about the sacraments as rounds of redemption. Certainly all of the teachings of the church, the scriptures, everything that is in a sense coming to us from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Is a round of redemption that we can glorify God through, with, and in these acts that Jesus has carried out. It says, now I continue by saying that my sweet Jesus said to me, my daughter, to all you have said on fusing yourself in my will, another application must be added, and that of fusing yourself in the order of grace, in all that the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and will do to those who are to be sanctified. This is a very, very important and kind of singular passage in the Book of Heaven in Louisa's diary, because there's not a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit, mentioned very few times, of course, in contrast to how often Jesus is there and present and mentioned. And the reason is Louisa's learning this from Jesus and to do it through, with, and in his humanity. But now he's going to give this very short but very powerful lesson so we can understand the role of the Holy Spirit and the fiat of sanctification, the third fiat and the third kinds of rounds that we do. So that effusing yourself in the order of grace and all that the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and will do to those and through those who are to be sanctified. That's us, hopefully. Furthermore, while we, the three divine persons, remain always united in working, if creation is related to the Father, redemption to the Son, the fiat voluntas tua, that is the your will be done on earth, is attributed to the Holy Spirit. That is the carrying out, the fulfillment of God's will in creation and redemption is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's, by the way, the teaching of our catechism and our Catholic doctrine. It is exactly in this fiat voluntas tua that the divine Spirit will display his work. It is in the coming of the kingdom. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is going to bring about this reign of the will of God on earth as in heaven. Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit. That's its appropriation. It's what the Holy Spirit does as the third person of the Trinity, is to receive from the Father and the Son, to return it back to the Father in perfect fulfillment and completion, bringing all of creation along with it, you see. Through creation, that's the work of the Spirit, is to bring this glory and love back to the Father. She says, you do it when in coming before, she's speaking to us now as learners about this, you do it when in coming before the Supreme Majesty, you say, I come to give love in return for everything which the sanctifier does to those who are to be sanctified. I come to give love in return for everything which the sanctifier, that is the Holy Spirit, beautiful book by Archbishop Martinez, Luis Martinez, Primate of Mexico. I come to enter into the order of grace, to give you glory and return of love as if all had become saints. So what makes saints saints is the Holy Spirit. And to make reparation to you for all the oppositions, the lack of correspondence to grace. See, all the ways in which men and women, children, have, you know, rebelled against the Holy Spirit, have not taken the inspirations of the Holy Spirit and acted on them, starting with ourselves, of course, because we've all failed, but bringing back to the Father the reparation for all of that, for all the opposition to God's grace and the lack of correspondence with it. And as much as you can in our will, you search for the acts of grace of the Spirit Sanctifier. As much as you can in our will, you search for these acts. Remember, the acts of redemption are the creation we started with in the rounds, the acts of redemption when we do those rounds. And now, what are the acts of sanctification, the works of the Holy Spirit in the church since Pentecost? You see, in order to make your own his sorrow, his secret moans, his anguishing sighs in the depths of the hearts on seeing himself so unwelcome. See, again, it's always going to include this aspect of reparation. Why? Because one of the ways, primary ways, Jesus satisfied the Father for all that had not been done and would not be done to his glory, he had to make reparation by suffering for that lack, that void, that evil. And he had to fulfill it, make it perfect in his own life, death, and resurrection by his sorrow, you see, his moans, his anguishing sighs in the depths of his heart. So we join him in doing that in our acts of sanctification. And because the Holy Spirit has been so unwelcome, you know, here God has given himself, outpoured himself to dwell in us through the gift of the Spirit, and the Spirit has come unto its own has not received him, just as it did not receive the second person of the Trinity. And since the first act he does is to bring our will as the complete act of their sanctification, to bring the first thing the Holy Spirit does, is to bring our will, which the Holy Spirit, of course, has by nature, the one divine will, bring that will of God as the complete act of the sanctification, the perfection and holiness of all creatures, all humanity. And to do this on seeing himself rejected, you see. The first act he does is to bring the will of God as the completing, not just the complete act, but the completing act, because it's what makes complete our sanctification. You know, what does St. Paul say? You know, the will of God is our sanctification. It is what sanctifies us. It's not only what we aim towards to be holy as God is holy as something out there. It is the means by which we become holy. So the will of God is our sanctification. So he says, he moans with inexpressible moans, and in your childlike simplicity you say to him, Spirit sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I beg you, let everyone know your will, so that in knowing it, they may love it and welcome your prime act of their complete sanctification, which is your most holy will. It's that prime act of our sanctification is the Holy Spirit coming at baptism with the power of God's will, of course, in all three persons, but it's through the instrumentality, we could say, in a sense, of the Holy Spirit that all three come to us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's its part in playing in the Most Holy Trinity. So he says, my daughter, we, the three divine persons, are inseparable and distinct. In this way, we want to manifest to the human generations our works for them, while remaining united within ourselves, each one of us wants to manifest individually, remember they're separate but one, his love and his work for the creatures. See, there's a very important understanding for us in this. Just, you know, it's just one paragraph, but it's one that I think we could read over and over again because it explains so beautifully, simply, clearly the role of the third person in this act of sanctification, the Holy Spirit in bringing us, completing in us this primary, this first act of the Holy Spirit, which is sanctification, to make us holy so that by our own holiness we can return love and glory to God on behalf of all of his holy creation. So, Spirit Sanctifier, hurry. I implore you, I beg you, let everyone know your will, so that in knowing it, they may love it and welcome your prime act of their complete sanctification, which is your most holy will. You know, maybe that's the most simple, perfect prayer that contains it all, we could say, for the kingdom of God, the reign of God's will to come to earth. Because if people don't know it, they cannot love it. If they don't love it, they cannot live it and possess it. So we pray that it be known, it be loved, and it be lived. And that's what Louisa's duty is. That's her mission here. It's also what God's asking you and me to do in whatever ways we can, not necessarily by talking about it or writing about it, but in every single act we do, he says, you are proclaiming the kingdom. You are spreading that good news. You are making it possible for others to know it, love it, and possess it. So, of course, he wants us to make it known any way we can. But first of all and most of all, through our own life, our own acts in the will of God. So thank you for joining us once again today, and we hope and pray you will join us again. And I ask God's blessing, his barakah, upon each one of you, and that through this blessing, the will of God will be multiplied in your life, in every single act that you do, so that it can bring greater glory to the Father. It can hasten the reign of his will on earth as in heaven. May God bless you and keep you always in that heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.